The History Man with Terry Kringle.
Hello. If mariners had had the benefit of weather forecasts and storm warnings back in the 18th century, what follows would not have happened. Let me also give some idea of what the inner harbour of Douglas was like a couple of centuries ago. It was little more than a large tidal creek, and the opening into it was roughly where the lift bridge is now. There was none of the other harbour works we have today. It was all open water. We now look back to the stormy night of Friday, September the 21st, 1787, when the Manx herring fleet was wrecked in Douglas Bay. There are no records to tell us how many fishermen died. At least 21 is the best estimate, but the death toll was almost certainly higher. The disaster happened when the 300 boats of the fleet were doing overnight trawling, under sail, of course, on the herring ground 7 miles away from Douglas off Clay Head. The weather was good, but round about midnight a savage easterly gale blew up suddenly, and the fleet had to make an immediate dash for Douglas. Some of them took the option of putting into Laxey. They escaped what was to come. When the first boats reached Douglas, the gale was at its peak, and it was also low tide, which made the entry to the so-called inner harbour risky, to say the least. Some of the first arrivals managed to get in, but the rest had to queue up outside at the mercy of the waves and the rocks. There's a vivid eyewitness account of the chaos. David Robertson, a British customs officer in Douglas, wrote, "In a few minutes all was horror and confusion. The darkness of the night, the raging of the seas, the vessels dashing against the rocks, the cries of fishermen perishing in the waves, and the shrieks of women ashore, is none but a spectator can possibly conceive." When the morning and daylight came, the beach and the rocks were covered in wrecks, and a group of bodies floating in the harbour. In some boats whole families perished. The shore was crowded with women, some in all the frantic agony of grief, alternatively weeping over the corpse of a father, brother, and husband, or sinking in the embrace of those whom a moment before they imagined were buried in the waves. The bustle of trade ceased its eagerness and yielded to the feelings of nature. An awful gloom sat on every countenance, and every bosom either bled with its own anguish or sympathized with the suffering of others. This is the only historical account there is of the disaster. There were no Manx newspapers at the time. The first newspaper account was in the Cumberland Packet. This reported 26 deaths, and speculated that there might have been 60 or 70. The only official guide to the number of vessels lost was a reduction in the number registered as paying herring dues, down from 300 to 253. The deplorable state of Douglas Harbour was largely blamed for what happened. The House of Keys called upon the government in London, which was responsible for maintaining the island's harbours at the time, to take action. But improvements were slow in coming. It was 5 years before anything at all was done, with the laying of the foundation stone for what was completed in 1801 as the Red Pier. It was another 70 years before the Victoria Pier and the first breakwater, the Battery Pier, were built, and Douglas Harbour looked more like how it does today. Now it is a true harbour of refuge. But the wreck of the herring fleet was not forgotten easily, and for many years afterwards people swore that down on the Red Pier, now the Edward Pier, on a stormy night, which is now just about where most of the fatal chaos occurred, you could still hear the despairing cries of the fishermen at sea and their womenfolk on the shore. Why not go down there when the next inshore gale hits, and see if you can hear anything?